Let's call our meeting to order. Everybody is present except for Kurt. Steve, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right. Do we have everybody look at the minutes from January 15th?
Yes.
Yep.
I motion that we approve the meeting for January 15, 2025.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Great. Firefighter recognitions, Chief?
I don't think. We didn't have any. I know we have some coming.
Okay.
But they haven't arrived yet. But I did have, we did have one announcement that we wanted to talk about. If you can.
For those that didn't know, retired Chief Burrell Harrison from Twill City. He passed away this week, so they're going to be doing services this Saturday for him.
We will be there at some level, but I didn't know him. I didn't know if you guys have.
I did.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Okay. So, just something to be aware of.
We also had a presence at Steve Watkins.
Right.
Last week, and we sent him. We sent flowers.
Good. That's great. Okay, a new firefighter swearing in?
None that we were aware of.
I thought Jay was coming.
Told me it was.
I'm not here. Okay.
Okay. Monthly status report, Chief.
We are currently today 178, which means up from 128 since the last board meeting. Sitting right about four a day. Been a busy month. January was only 95 between the four meetings, and so significant increase. Last year on this date was 157, so we're up 21 already this year, and 19 MVAs on I-80 in the past month. And inside those MVAs, we are collecting more and more information to get into our cost recovery program, so we're getting there. Slowly. Significant events. We had one building fire in Grantsville that I was IC on because it was during fire school, and the entire, almost county. The entire Grants County, yes. Grantsville was gone, and me and Chief Brown had split it so that he went down 3 days early and then came home a day early. I went down for Friday and Saturday and came back. So I was able to handle that fire. We had one large snow event on the 25th. The significance of that night was we had an overturned car hauler carrying nine Teslas. So none of them caught fire. But they certainly were littered all over the highway.
We did send a bill for that one.
Yes.
About $3,000 maybe. But.
Yeah, so that was a significant. We had one fatality, 179 in parachute, and Captain Arnold was on that. We had one dryer fire, one ice rescue event on Stansbury Lake. And that all turned out okay. The officer arrived on scene, threw him a rope, pulled him out. So that was good just before we arrived. Our Engine 61 and our four firefighters returned from California on the 26th. And then on the 12th, we had a resident of Lake Point fell at one of our stations in the parking lot and broke his arm. We don't have a whole lot of information on that one, but he didn't call 911, drove himself to the ER, and his daughter called me from North Carolina.
Just so, to let us know?
Or? Yeah, to kind of let us know, say, you know, whose responsibility is it? And I'm like, well.
Were they having a meeting there?
He was delivering cardboard to their dumpster. So kind of one of those weird situations. And so far, when I met with him at the hospital, he said, I have insurance. He says, I'm not planning to do anything. He says, he's like, my daughter called you. He's like, so just, but I did go to the hospital to visit and say, you know, hey, sorry that happened, dude. And, but
Was it icy or anything that day?
It was icy.
You're trying to climb in the dumpster to knock it down.
He did not. He said, I asked him if it was stuffed full because I've seen it stuffed full. And he said, no. He said it was just his fault. So we'll see what comes out of that, if anything. Accomplishments, ice rescue training. We had that. We had the leadership, the admin. All the captains and the chiefs went through S-200, which is the incident commander type 4 training, and S-230 crew boss training. All of the shifts got traffic incident management training, and we went to Winter Fire School. Lots of training done this past month. Very busy. We have transitioned the shifts around on February 28th. February 8th. That hasn't happened yet. We have a position opening. So we're advertising for that. On the 3rd of February, I went to a legislative lunch for fire chiefs, and sat with Representative Bolander and numerous of our representatives, had lunch with them. And then on the 10th, the admin staff all went to visit our legislators during session and kind of went through some of our needs and wants. And it was extremely positive. Last year was not so positive. This year was very positive. We talked with Darren on multiple levels. For Senate Bill 209, which looks like it's going to pass. Mm-hmm. And so that sets us up for some additional funding, potential funding. Planning. Recruit Academy is ongoing. We've had multiple instructors up there with Tooele City working with them, whether they're helping out with actual instruction or just doing physical skills. We have an investigator class coming in March. We have all this up here is related to how we're ordering our next set of PPE. So we're working on a lot of that. Our Type 1-3 engine build continues. I forgot to send you the link. Sorry. So it's just continuing. Not a whole lot of change.
Great.
Our skid mount pumps for some of our rescue bodies. Those just went through bid completion. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Driver training is ongoing, and we're still working to remove the pump out of engine 64 out of Lakeport. So, any questions?
How prepared are we for like the lithium ion batteries with that many vehicles?
We're not.
I'm not sure if there is a way to prepare.
Right.
A lot of agencies are simply saying, just
let it burn.
Let it burn.
Yeah.
And especially on a night like that where the snow was covering everything, probably would have been our go-to. Pull it away from the car hauler and
just let them go.
Yeah.
It's actually been like a big national recommendation for now. It's like
just
isolate and let them burn. Yeah.
Yeah, isolate. And not quite walk away.
Well, yeah.
but isolate.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that is a good question because
it's a reality.
How many were there?
Reality.
Nine.
There were five on the top deck, and all of those had separated from the car hauler. And
he still hasn't told you the best part yet.
You got it. You tell me what your best part of that night was.
The best part was is when the Teslas that were on top that got strewn all over the highway, they suffered a collision and called the tow truck.
They automatically called the tow truck.
The tow trucker, I started stealing the cars.
Oh, yeah.
Because Tesla told them to call, and the cops are like,
What are you doing?
Put it back. And then another tow company that was in rotation came to pick up the cars.
Oh, my gosh.
That's
crazy.
But that was the best part.
That is very interesting.
Lieutenant Swall said that didn't happen.
Oh.
They have been taken off rotation.
Oh, even worse.
No way.
They found out that there were Teslas out there. They wanted one. They started just picking them.
Oh, wow.
That's dirty.
That's dirty. That's right. That's dirty.
Somebody wanted some money.
All the things that we see out there.
Right.
Oh, really? Wow.
Were they trying to take them then?
They're investigating the reasons why. So that investigation is still ongoing, but because of the fact that they found out that Tesla was not alerted.
Oh. That was their story.
They've been reprimanded by being taken off rotation. Huh. And so they are looking into criminal charges.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
Never
mind. Interesting.
Imagine maybe hiding that.
Stories we were told.
Must be able to start falling off.
Awesome.
Okay.
So that's Chief. No longer the best part.
Well,
so what I have for you today is a broken record. And that broken record is that I met with Chris Robinson last week regarding some of the new development that was going to Lake. And in that conversation, we were talking about egress for some land that he has was talking about on the north side of I-80. And I says, well, what are you going to do with that? Are you going to improve it? Is it going to be primary access? What are you going to do? Because you have to have two accesses if you put so much stuff in there. And he says, well, that will be secondary access. And so came and talked to Chief a little bit and find out that Lake Point has said that they don't want to have the last I had heard was the 201 was going to wrap around the side of the mountain and come down in and then hit into Drew Bay. But apparently Lake Point doesn't want necessarily think that's the best idea because that would put too much traffic on their side. And I don't know. Anyway, moving on. If that's going to be a secondary egress, if Hardy Road is going to be a secondary egress for this new development, that means he's going to bring in a primary egress, which would cross I-80. And if you look at all the land that he owns now north of I-80, it's basically the equivalent of all of Lake Point and all of Stansbury. Hmm. So the broken record would be we're going to double in size in the next 3 to 5 years, plus all the other growth. So you are going to need at least 3 new stations, probably 4. With those 3 new stations, you're going to need probably 4 to 3 battalion chiefs, 15 captains.
What resolution do you have for that?
Well, I will leave that to Kim
because
there's lots of exciting news when she talks about what happened up at the state capitol. So with that development coming in, I figure it's close to $40 million over the next 10 years or so. We could easily get a bond with that build those stations and those apparatuses and those vehicles.
Great.
So are you saying he owns from the salt plant halfway to Grantsville?
He owns the whole thing.
Where the auction place is.
Would it be prudent to pull it up real quick?
He owns to where the Nature Conservancy.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the Nature Conservancy is what I saw.
So as soon as there's one little spot of Tula County, and then there's one spot, just go to...
what is he planning mixed?
So is that...
We don't know.
It's the old salt plant.
We don't know.
I know, is that... There's a lot of water in there. Doesn't he have to...
Yeah, there is a lot of water.
He has to do stuff with them, doesn't he?
No plans.
Corps of Engineers.
How could he build that?
Yeah.
Are they building on stilts?
Yeah.
They got to build on stilts? Yeah, like what are they...
It's...
There's a lot of water.
So yeah, they'll put pyres down. And is there a little map right there?
You can even do Google Earth and just...
Interactive parcel web map. The far left.
Yeah.
Far left.
Good. Right there.
It's like,
yeah. So then you'll say okay. Or yeah, you can say okay.
Done, it's a time or two.
Yeah. And then you zoom in to the base of the lake.
West, go zoom in right there in that little circle.
So
everything
where the bombs are is what Chris Roberts.
Go west just a little bit.
Other direction.
Other west. Go.
So then zoom in just a little bit more, and then we can start seeing.
Other direction still.
Go west.
Go west.
Keep going west.
Go left.
Go this way.
Okay.
Left
this way.
Your left.
Towards the lake.
There you go.
There you go.
So if we, and then just click.
So we're Ritchie Brothers. They get rid of them.
So if you see the owner.
Salt
Point Land.
Yep.
So all of this whole section clear into
where's the Nature Conservancy.
The
top is still state trust lands where the ponds are. That's still state trust lands.
Oh, okay.
So where those ponds are state trust.
Yes. Yeah.
And so he just owns these land.
Yeah.
And does he own down to 94, Mid Valley Highway exit?
Yeah. Pretty close.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you go down there and you see the fence, and there'll be a tire hanging on there, no trespassing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You can see the cattle pens back there.
Yeah.
That's the Nature Conservancies.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
So that's the right word, was oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I assume.
It's going to be a lot of work.
Just making assumptions, I assume it will be mixed use, residential and commercial. And I said one time, let's get excited because here we go.
Here we go.
Does he own where S&W is also?
Yes.
Is he going to do something with that?
Oh, yeah. What's going on with S&W?
So he's a developer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of the land he owns, all of Skull Valley, all of the whole of Utah, pretty much. Him being a developer, I would assume that at some point in time he would like to develop it. And
they're clearing it out now, aren't they?
There's only one person. There isn't even one person over there now.
S&W's gone, I think.
It's all full.
They take the car down?
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't looked.
It's like on the edge.
There was one
right by the TA. The trailer park. It used to be a trailer park. Yeah.
So, that being said, I mean, if a million people came and said, hey, we want to move right here, I'm sure that he would love to develop. So it's all just going to be based on how many people. But I've communicated before that everywhere else is full. And this is the place. Right?
And he doesn't own EnviroCare where Broken Arrow's at, does he? Or does he own it and they rent it?
I don't know.
He doesn't own.
There's
a bunch of landowners out there. There's the presiding bishop. There's the BLM. There's a lot of other people. Chris is the largest landowner in the state.
He is.
So
he owns 25 square miles up by Berry River service station.
And he bought 340,000 acres down at Cold Ford.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's what made him a largest landowner. Yeah.
But that being said, he's actively engaged here, right? Like I said, we just got off a meeting with him.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to, he's going. He's thinking.
Yeah.
So here we go.
Cool. Any progress on...
I have a question for... Oh, go ahead.
Any progress on those subdivisions up on Drew Bay?
So it's still a land battle with Erta. In fact, I was talking to Jake earlier today and said, we didn't really have, because Cassandra said, there's really only eight new impact fees for Erta. And he says, there's no land available, no subdivisions available. Once those subdivisions open up and we're working on them, working through those. But once they come in, I stated before, the stat was there's 900 rooftops in Erta, and the slated plans are 1,500. So Erta's going to triple in size. So I wish I could convey. Chief was saying how, 1,000 rooftops a year.
That's about your max.
It's about the maximum capacity, and we're looking at probably 4,000 rooftops a year.
Hmm.
So if I could,
Oh, yeah, we get it.
We all
understand.
You laid it down pretty thick.
What is a broken record?
We all
understand. I was here when there was twice.
Next month, so. Next month, here we are. Next month, I'll give you some more delightful news of some other subdivision that opened up.
So they're tearing down the retaining wall. They're going to put, is it three lanes going to go all the way to Twilla?
I don't know. We haven't seen
it. Oh, access lane?
There's nothing set in stone, and they can change.
They'll be average from.
But an assumption would be that.
Stathrow Parkway. Yeah, finally.
An assumption would be that 201 comes along the frontage road up over I-80 and dumps into this stuff.
I think that's quite a ways out, but
I don't think so.
Yeah,
I don't think he'll go.
But is it going to be three lanes from I-80 from 99 to Lake Point to
Stansbury,
to the turnoff someday?
They're working on 36 right now.
Yeah,
36 north is going to be widened.
Yeah.
this summer.
Mm-hmm.
So
it'll be three lanes to try to avoid the road. Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
So we're growing, and it's all
and then three
in our jurisdiction
going south too.
And three going south.
They're going to start.
Awesome. Thanks, Buck.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Awesome, Kim.
Sorry, I wasn't here last month. Last month was busy. Chief and I applied for some more grants. Chief applied for three, I applied for three. So Road to Zero grant, that one we applied for on January 17th, is $187,000, and it's a personal response vehicle, we hope, for Chief Brown. When the new administration got into office, it was put on hold, but I did get an email on February 12th that said it's back off hold. So hopefully we can get that funding. That would be helpful. With some of that funding, we are looking at trying to get some more equipment for like a trailer in response and things like that. So hopefully we get that. Chief applied for the BLM grant that was similar to last year where we got the apparatus, so we'll see what happens there. I applied for the WIPM grant. That is for fire mitigation, so wildfire mitigation, and they said you should hear back before or on March 1st. We applied for $168,000. It would be for a mitigation trailer for fire mitigation. Mm-hmm. And so also it would hopefully be able to supply the Type 1-3 with some apparatus equipment and stuff like that. So hopefully on that. The license plate grant, that happens every year. So I submitted it on October 31st. I reached out a couple times to Ted Black. So this was what he responded to me. He said, initially the grant committee only awarded a minimal number of grants this year. We were still in the middle of transferring the money from the state to the Firefighters Association. Now that money has been transferred, there's more money available. The committee will consider additional grants in a week or two, and we're all involved in legislation at the moment, so check back in a couple of weeks. So that was the first part of February. I emailed you today, so I don't know. That was $5,000. So hopefully, I think we were denied last year, weren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then Chief applied for the BEMS funding, and so that's for training and things like
that. For the per capita?
Yeah, per capita. And there was one more, and I can't remember what it was, Chief. What else? There were six we applied for. And then we had reports due, so January was a crazy month. Oh, it was CBDG that we were working on, and let them know we didn't meet the income survey, so unfortunately.
So that's, we're going to continue to get dinged when it comes to income survey.
Participation from the citizens, or what they do, what happened?
No, we actually got the minimum required surveys filled out. That was kind of interesting because what we got from the county as far as who to survey, pretty much most of the houses we surveyed were less than 10 years old and they were in all the new development. We did not survey anybody on the Lakeview or the Country Club, nobody in the older part of Lake Point, nobody in the older part of... Yeah, it was really strange.
Why didn't they give us a cross-section?
I know. So they said every 63rd address, and that's what we did. But we went to the houses, they were all less than 10 years old. Yeah, so
Wasn't two of them Pure Place?
Yeah, two of them Pure Place.
Oh, well, that, don't do that.
Come on. Right? Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, and I mean, there wasn't any in the low-income assisted housing.
It was not, but it was close.
There wasn't any of the townhouses.
Yeah.
There, like I said, wasn't Country Club or Lakeview. There wasn't any. There was no homes that were less than or more than 10 years old.
Now we know the process, and we will be working with that process until we get to do it again next year.
Great.
So we will look at CIB funding. So isn't that what did the firehouse in
Twella City?
Yeah. So we'll look at that. Hopefully, help with the.
When it comes time for our application for CIB, we may need one of you to come with us during that day, because that'll be at the Capitol.
So then we have reports due for the SAMHSA grant, SAFER grant, and the Community Wildfire grant. So they were kind of a year-end grant. The SAFER grant, we met all the goals for 2024, obviously, how many of the volunteers were brought in. So 18 volunteers, we have 17 new applications, and so we'll review them and get them ready for spring. Chief Brown, Chief Nunn, and I, and everybody else are kind of working on some new requirements that will be needed for the volunteers before they're even considered, that they have their NIMS done, that they've started on with their wildland fire response online. Good. That they're working towards things that show us that they're, you know, ready to kind of hit the ground running and just, you know,
we brought in 18 new volunteers and only six of them are left.
So. Did NWCG relax the rules on you have to be part of a fire department in order to take those tests?
No.
But we have instructed them that just to include us. Okay. Just put us down.
Okay. Great.
So we met those. We did have some good volunteers that came out of it. Obviously, Julius and Sean and Rachel and, you know, those that have advanced on and contributed and helped us out. So we're very appreciative of that and some training opportunities that came from that funding that, you know, people got advanced EMT. They got some advanced training, some advanced classes. So we're grateful for that, you know, that worked out. The Community Wildfire Defense Grant, I worked on that report, and it ended up being 10 pages. I couldn't believe how much we did, thanks to everybody that was involved. So successfully responded to wildfires. I think it was really helpful that we had their help this year. Community outreach efforts, the smoky fire danger signs, we're still waiting for approval in Lake Point from the city to reinstall the sign. So... the updated community wildfire prevention plan that was already in the works with a different grant, but that kind of got advanced, and just kind of the networking with BLM and those kind of things. So Rachel pulled together a meeting, and we met with Oak Mountain Water and BLM and Moker Mountain Water are working on some land up there to make sure that the electricity that goes to the pumps and stuff like that is cleared so we don't have any problems. So they're working together on that. So that was really awesome. The media coverage, it was like a page and a half. Thankful for John as far as that. Multiple times, Fox 13, KUTV, KJAZ. I mean, if you just Google, you know, Northwell Fire District, wildfire prevention, oh my gosh, it just populates a whole bunch. So we had our media darlings that, you know, were on those. So we really appreciate the work they did. And then as far as Buck saying updates, I didn't know if Chief wanted to update or...
It's another bullet point later.
Okay.
So we'll get into that.
Okay.
I'll leave it to him. But I will ask Haley, John, for the volunteer and retention, there's videos that we are supposed to produce to bring in volunteers. I kind of coerced John into doing a volunteer one, but it kind of highlighted I-80, so I'll let you watch what he did, and he did a great job.
The Tooele County portion of Interstate 80 is one of the busiest and most unforgiving highways in the state of Utah. Every year, crashes happen. Lives are changed in an instant, and the North Tooele Fire District is here to answer that call. North Tooele Fire responds to more than 500 vehicle crashes every year. More than half of those are on this stretch of freeway. Nearly 100 miles of open freeway, which includes a U.S. Air Force testing range, the Bonneville Salt Flats, and the Utah-Nevada border.
I-80 is a long stretch of road. I don't think people realize there are 100 miles between fire stations.
UHP says a total of 20 vehicles, including semi-trucks, were involved between the two crashes. Two people suffered minor injuries.
Accident is on eastbound Interstate 80, so if you're headed from Tooele into the Salt Lake area, UHP says...
...to a potentially hazardous situation for all involved.
That is a fully involved car.
We're the first to respond on I-80. Crashes don't wait for the sun to come up or for the weather to get any better.
A semi then slammed into one of the cars, hitting a driver.
North Tooele Fire District covers one of the largest areas in the state of Utah, more than 1,700 square miles. Even with an area that large, more than 30% of our EMS calls are along I-80, which means training, both physical and mental, are vital.
This training is so important because it's the backbone of everything we do. From extrication to hose deployments to victim drags to just anything to do EMS related, we have to be trained up and proficient.
Out there, you know, seconds matter on I-80. We're the first and last line of defense, and no matter what, we have to be there.
North Tooele Fire is a combination department, which means there are full-time, part-time, and volunteer firefighters. And volunteers often step up into part-time or full-time career roles. Every volunteer becomes a state-certified firefighter and EMT, which gives you a step up into a new career or a great way to spend your spare time. To find out more, visit our website at www.ntfdutah.gov.
Good.
That
was great.
So he'll do two more.
That's great.
So he did a really good job.
Awesome. Thanks, Kim.
Yeah, the day job of the radio holsters.
Let's go to comment now. Yeah, so this is time for public comment. Anybody?
Nothing online.
Okay. Bills reviewed.
Did everybody have a chance to go through last month's bills?
Yes.
Any questions on them?
No.
No.
Thank you.
Okay. Contract review? None. Old business? Well, it says that there's a
title. It does say that, yes, but we don't really have an update.
Okay.
We were going to show the website, but it's still sitting at 45%.
Okay.
We're, the only update we have is an extension in the delivery date, so
okay.
Which isn't too surprising.
All right, new business, 2024 impact fee report review and discussion.
Okay, so I'm having Kaylee pull the report up on the screen so we can see it. So this is our annual impact fee report that we have to turn in to the auditor every year. I do have it broken down between areas. So the first one is residential Tooele County. We received $88,000 from Tooele County new homes. Pine Canyon, scroll down a little bit, Kaylee. Or sorry, Lake Point City, we got $31,000, and scroll down more. Erta, we had $2,900. So, like we said, not very many, not much building going on in Erta City. Few commercial properties, I tried to identify what they all were. So our total impact fees for the year, with our interest, we had $13,000 in interest. The Utah Treasurer's account has been really good for interest the last year or two. $151,000 total. Let's go to the next page, please. So you can see our projected expenditures. We are required to show what our projected expenditures for the next 6 years are. As if you recall, our impact fees are required to be expended within 6 years of collecting them. Otherwise, we have to get them back. So as long as we have them earmarked and projected, then we are good. So right now, and these can change as things come up. Right now, so for 2025, we have exceeded the limit of what we have to. All impact fees 6 years back through 2025 have been expended. That's why there's nothing in the 2025 column. So by 2026, we need to spend at least of about $24,000 in impact fees on one of the approved projects. And then you can see going on after that. So our total impact fees on hand, and this accounts for current expenditures, is $578,000 and change. Scroll down just a little bit. What did we spend it on this year? So this year we had $2,500 in impact fee collection charges between the three areas. So out of the $150 that we brought in, we spent $2,500 to collect that. I did have a discussion with Lake Point City last week because they have had some confusion in their offices as far as how to report it and get us our funds. And so right now, Lake Point, I've had at least two quarters where they've not given us, they haven't reported right, they haven't sent us the correct amount. We just received the check yesterday for what they still owed us for third quarter, because they had one person doing one part of it and another person doing another part, and they weren't talking to each other. So now that process has been fixed, but it kind of solidified with me our need to try to start collecting them on our own and coming up with a process for that. Because I think for these smaller cities, even though they're cities, they're still so
scattered.
New and scattered that they're not familiar enough with the process. Unfortunately, right now, I don't have a way to verify, other than comparing the reports to the payments, right, that everything is correct, because I don't know all the buildings that are going on. Because she assumed I was getting reports from Buck as far as how many inspections is he signing and plats he's, and I said, that has nothing to do with it. We can't do it off of that. So we will have to come up with a process for that. So that's probably something that
maybe we can like invoice them up once that process comes through.
Well, we can. Technically, they're supposed to have their impact fees paid before they get their building permit.
Mm.
So right now, it's all part of the same process. Okay. So that's why Tooele County or the city collects the fee with the building permit fees to give them their permit, and then they then forward our fee to us.
Mm.
So one of the things that we'll need to do is contact some of these other smaller agencies and see how they're doing it. Because I know, I believe SPID has impact fees, and there's one other that I think does. So we can kind of reach
recreation.
So we can kind of find out how are they handling it, you know, if they're doing it on their own or not. But that's, it's becoming more off the back burner into the front right now.
Great.
So scroll down just a little bit. Because one of the things that we are doing is getting everything online. Mm-hmm. So we do have the website up and running, obviously, and we've got online payments. So we do have a small monthly merchant service charge to keep those online payments going. And I have one going to the Impact Fee account so that we can get those set up. We have not done an impact fee study. We talked about that we need to do one next year, and we have not had to do any refunds. So we expended $2,500 last year, and that, you know, so that came out of that $500,000 that we have. Scroll down to the next page, please. And so these columns right here, this is your annual summary, going all the way back to when we started collecting them. So it's a little interesting to look, because you can kind of see the pattern of we started at $43,000 a year. We go down, keep scrolling, Kaylee, please. Keep going down to the next page. $300,000, and then it went to $90,000. That was a hard one.
Yeah.
And then we're building back up. And so you can see 2020... Two, we had 162,000. Then after that, we went down to 64, and now we're back up to 150. So you can kind of see patterns in the economy. You know, when COVID was happening at the time, price of lumber, things like that, and how it is affecting us here. So since 1997, we have accumulated $4,400,000 in impact fees and expended 3.8, and we currently have 578,000.
Yeah.
Great. So there is a resolution for your approval tonight to certify this report, and then I will send it off to the state.
Great.
Get that requirement done. Do you have any questions on our impact fees?
No. Thank you so much for putting that together.
Okay.
Not bad for being a bunch of anti-girls calling this short.
All right. Next. Oh, man.
Should have been in a meeting.
Legislative update?
Been there.
Okay. So, legislative updates. We went to the Capitol and spent the day there. Our first meeting was with Senator Sandel. 3 years ago, we met with him and said, hey, we were really just doing an introduction meeting. And he commented, he said, what are we going to do about Wendover? And I'm like, I have nothing to do with Wendover. And he said that he wanted to do more to support Wendover as far as fire, city as a whole. And I said, well, we're going to need funding to do that. And so that was our discussion that year. Then last year, we reintroduced that with him, and then really kind of, that really didn't go anywhere last year. This year, between him and Bolander, Senate Bill 456, is that right?
456, transient room tax.
Transient room tax. They were both on board with that to support fire and EMS, and how much that would generate for funding to go strictly to response variety. So that was a huge win. Don't know if 456 will pass. We're still waiting kind of on that. Building up support, whether that's with the fire caucus, the joint task force for the fire chiefs, really just trying to support that and show that it's not just us along I-80, it's along I-70, it's along sections of I-15. There's just a lot of unsupported land out there that agencies are responding to that could pull out of this transient room tax. And they estimated that it's about $28 million that it will generate per year. And so how they divide that into the counties. We also, Kim was able to catch Representative Bolander before he went into session and identify that as not just county, municipality, but special districts can apply for that money as well. So she does a fantastic job at reading through all these legalistic details that we don't often look at and go, yeah, that's a problem. She can see that. So very, very helpful. So Bolander introduced that, Sandel supports it, and he's been really just trying to gauge their support. Representative Bolander said he would not have even introduced it to the floor if he didn't have the support of the counties and I can't think of... So if he didn't have the support, he would never have introduced it. He introduced it. So they feel they have enough support. So 456, and then Senate Bill 209 is another one, which is what I was referencing with Mark and Darren. 209 is with DPS and does a lot of things, a lot of work within EMS inside DPS. But most importantly, it establishes something called a critical needs fund.
The critical needs fund.
Then Darren said we would go in front of DPS to apply for some of that funding for I-80. So I think we got a lot of support this year that we were not expecting, but very welcome. And there's like lots of other little things that have happened that aren't really yet for you guys yet. It's just weird stuff. Like we had a guy contact us from Skull Valley and say, hey, will you put a fire station out here? And I'm like, no. And he's like, well, what if I donate all the land? And I'm like, maybe. But stuff like that. Just lots of weird stuff. Yeah. Suval? Bill Suval?
Oh, he called a few years ago wanting to do the same thing, too.
Okay.
He calls every few years.
So just weird things like that that I kind of collect, and I go, okay, I'm going to put a hold on that for a second. But anyhow, legislative update went over really well this year.
That's great.
And it was great to have us up there at the Capitol, and they know who we are now. What did you say? It's Mike?
Mike
guy
Bauer.
Yeah,
with the governor's office.
Yeah. So we have the governor's ear at some level.
And then the lobbyist works with the firefighter.
Yep.
Yeah, he's done a promising email that he said he thinks 209 is done. So that's, and he's like been in legislation since they did help stuff, so we kind of know each other. So if he says it's a done deal, I believe him.
Yeah, we're pretty confident because 209 is the only one we're supporting, but it's pretty much a cleanup bill from our move from DHS to DPS. So,
yes. Okay. You want to go to the next item, the skid mount pumps?
So,
the DOI grant?
We received $93,000 on a grant from Department of Interior. And as much as chaos has been happening over the past month related to grants and grant funding, we don't believe that's going to change because it's firefighter-friendly type of stuff. So we received that, so we went out for bid a month ago. We issued a set of specifications that came out of the grant, which we had three bids come back. One was from Ellen Curtis. Another one was from Siddons Martin, and another one was from a place called Wildland Warehouse. Bids all got returned last week. We sat through, the three of us, me, Chief Brown, Captain Unsworth, and Andrew was participating as well to go through those bids. Two of them were basically one for one. And then one of them was unacceptable. It didn't have enough detail, not enough information. This was a government contract, so the government was very specific on what you had to put in your bid, and they put none of it in their bid. So so they didn't make the cut. The second two, the Wildland Warehouse and Ellen Curtis, were one for one until it came down to price. And so do I tell them what it was?
You can tell them the winning bid.
The winning bid was Ellen Curtis, and they the prices that they quoted was about $24,000 for each skid mount, which then almost leaves us enough to buy a fourth instead of just three. So we're not sure what we're going to be allowed to do with the extra funds that will be left over from that 93.
250-gallon tank, I take it?
300. 300-gallon tanks.
150 GPM?
The pumps are 18 horsepower.
What's the GPM on the pump, Andrew?
They didn't ask for it. They wanted a horsepower rating, but they are rated for, I believe, 150 plus. They offered a few different options on high pressure and lower pressure. So at least up to, I think, 18 or 20 horsepower numbers.
That's sufficient.
Yeah. These are good pumps. And we reviewed their bid. Twella City has almost the same.
Yeah, they have the 250 gallon tank and a 400 gallon tank. And so we kind of compared apples to apples on Saturday on what our size would be between the two. And everything was spot on from the description that we were given from the government and the bids.
So that bidding process went fairly smoothly. We did not do a state contract with that simply because we had been communicating with this Wildland Warehouse and telling them, you know, this is what we need, you know, allowing them to bid. So they were out of state. They're New Jersey or the winning one came down to price, really what it was.
Do you have the exact amount? And I'll put it in the.
The exact price is $68,475.
That's a turnout. That's for 3 years.
Well, we've done business with Dylan Curtis for since I've been here. You've always done a good job and everything you've got from him.
Nice.
So next was the phones. So this was handled a little differently as far as RFP. We did a state contract only bid, and it came back with nobody. So when that came back with from nobody, then we had to go out for a national bid. And when we went out for a national bid, we got 18 back. Okay. 18 bids came in. Let's see, summary sheet. We sat in here for four hours.
That one's your summary.
Reduced it down to four. Then we gave those four to Cassandra to kind of compile all of our notes and our details and our weighted scoring and our winning, I guess the winning bid that came back was the company we're already using for our IT support. So Les Olson came back. They were the cheapest. There were some companies that wanted to charge us $16,000-$20,000 for installing hardware, and we just don't need it. We were looking for a simple solution, and this was the cheapest and most simple solution. So I think that's about the only thing I had, right?
Yeah, some of the others that Kaylee and I looked through today of your four, they were renting the equipment instead of purchasing, and we were like, we are interested in renting because then what happens when our contracts don't work?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was clear. It's this one had a very clear, not only in points, but price point as well.
Great.
So
our real question with Les Olson came back to when we issued the state contract request, why did they not bid? Because they are a state contractor. And so we don't know what we missed. So that's what we're going to... Okay. So we want to make sure that we weren't missing anything else.
Great.
Okay. All right. Consent agenda 9.
I look for policies. So this is just all the policies. We've actually last month, the staff and all the captains got together with several policies, and I think I issued probably 30 updates. These are the ones pertaining to what the board needs to approve. Some of them just have a couple of things. Mostly compensation was just based on changing everything from 24-day to a 28-day work period to support our new staff.
Yeah.
The employee exit policy and SOP, because of some recent events, we wanted to just solidify our practice and make sure we had everything down so that we're fair in our practice of doing it consistently. And so we did create a policy for this. And if you guys have any questions on these, let me know. The holiday leave procedure, the significant changes to this is as a staff, we are proposing to add Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, and the employee's birthday to our holiday list. So admin staff employees get the day off with holiday pay. The firefighters, we will be increasing they get a pay period automatic amount of hours. So they were getting 5.5 hours. We will be increasing them to, I think it's 7.38 per pay period. So that's how many hours they get. So whether they work the holiday or not, they get holiday pay.
So how many holidays is that a year?
That gives us 16. And we're using it as an employee benefit. And something that we can say, you know, we know we don't always match wages, but as part of our benefits package, this is one of the things that we are offering.
The state gives 12.
Right.
They just barely added Juneteenth, and that was 12.
Yeah, so we have a few more because we, you know, many years ago, the board added in the day after Thanksgiving, so we had that. So we've had 13 for quite a while, so we're just adding in three more. So with your approval tonight.
That's great.
It's got a difference. I think I get that.
Yep.
Okay. Is New Year's Day? New Year's Day is on there. It's at the very top because it's January. Oh,
sorry
yeah.
Sorry about that.
No, you're good. And the employee birthday will be a floating kind of either on their birthday, the week of,
sure.
month of. They can just take it, you know, for their for that. Member handbook, we just made updates to this to update it for the 28-day work period, include some statements that we needed to have in there as far as when you need to take time off or if you can't schedule your shift. We also included how many hours we're requiring for volunteers and part-timers to work their shifts per month. So the 36 hours.
It's not relevant during our last situation when we had to pay for the one that didn't meet the he didn't meet the physical fitness thing. And up there we say we're at will.
The unemployment.
Right. But that was not our decision.
Yeah,
so
he claimed unemployment.
Even though we're at will, you can still try to file unemployment and
got
if
it.
They decide not to. The last one that we just had, the unemployment got denied.
Great. Good. That makes sense.
So
okay, cool.
For reasons of just cause.
Sure. Got it.
So even though Utah's an at-will state, I think there's still certain things that you have to...
Yeah. We said the same
you
thing.
You have to
state.
Do.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else did we have? We had overtime, comp time procedures. Again, that was just updating from the 24 to the 28-day work period. And then Kaylee went through and updated the employee the payroll handbook.
I still remember handbook.
So yeah, I know. So I just pulled these up in case you guys had any questions. I didn't know how many you read through ahead of time.
Oh, that's great. They look good to
the
me.
The payroll handbook is basically meant for, you know, if one of us isn't here and someone has to do it, we hand it to you and
that's
say,
a great idea.
Here you go. And nice. I'm working on the AP and the general ledger ones right now. But because they're all payroll and financial related, they are something that the board has to approve.
That makes sense.
So... any questions on anything we went over, concerns?
No.
Thanks for liking that.
It looks great.
Okay, so there's an approval for tonight. That's consent agenda number 9.
Great.
Public comment. All right. Action items. Resolution 2025-05, approval and certification of the 2024 impact fee report.
I propose that we approve the 2025-5 approval and certification of the 2024 impact fee report.
I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, resolution 2025-06, approval of the skid mount pumps proposal.
I'll propose the approve resolution 2025-06, approval of skid mount pump proposal.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Resolution 2025-07, approval of the VoIP phones RFP proposal.
I'll propose we approve the resolution 2025-07, approval of the VoIP phones RFP proposal.
All in favor? Oh, sorry.
I'll second it.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Great. Resolution 2025-08, approval of the consent agenda number 9, updating of admin, HR, and payroll policies.
I propose that we approve the 2025-08, approval of the consent agenda number 9, update of admin, HR, and payroll policies.
Great.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Great. Board calendar.
So next month, March 19th, is our next meeting. Here at 6:30, that same week. I'm sorry, my screen is blank. That same week on the 22nd, we have our board workshop. Again, if you have any items that you want to discuss, please send those to Chief Lynn as soon as possible so we can get the agenda made up. Right now, we've discussed doing the board policies
and doing a review of our strategic plan, see if there's anything we need to update on that.
Great.
So if you have any other items, let us know. And then April 16th, third Wednesday in April, is our next one. District events, we've got Recruit Academy going on, and we are participating in the state HOSA event judging in a couple weeks in Kaysville. Something that Mark asked us to.
That's great. That'll be fun.
That'll be good. They enjoy it.
You got so much support on that. That was amazing.
We had emails coming through like crazy.
Yeah, I know. We have you guys are the most.
A couple more of us wanted to do it, but
It's new. It's at night this time too, so it's great though. You don't have to be an EMT or firefighter to do it. You can be literally anybody to do it. Cool. Essentially, just judging kids as they compete.
Yeah,
that's awesome. That's great.
I think we have 8.
Yeah, you're the most.
That's awesome. Great.
Yeah, it'll be exciting.
Do we still have 3 in the Fire Recruit Academy or 4? I mean,
we have 3.
3. We started with 5. We're down to 3.
That's correct. We released 1 this week. Due to low attendance, not making the attending, I guess.
The attendance criteria.
Okay.
Awesome.
Are they still on the department or they're?
Okay.
They are now.
That makes sense.
Okay. Do we have any public concerns?
Nothing. Member.
We good? Okay. Do we need a closed session?
I do not.
Okay, do we have a motion to adjourn?
I motion that we adjourn the meeting for February 19, 2025.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned at 19:31.